Sandra, you asked to address the topic of minding mind, as the word implies already. It's like mirroring a mirror. And the question then comes, can the camera take a photograph of the camera? How can you reflect something back to itself? And when you reflect it back to itself, is it still itself, or has it turned inside out, or is it something else? Minding mind is really a crucial topic, because it is so complex and yet so simple. There are a couple of ways that we can address that, and I will just have to let it fall in place because I need to find a easier pathway to get into this. For the simple reason that it is a topic which is so often ignored. The people who talk about mind, say the psychiatrist, psychologist, they often do not use their mind or do not study their mind in doing it. They instead look at reflection of the mind, a bit like physicists looking at the movement of particles by having the Wilson cloud chamber. So they can see the condensation trail of where the particle was, because they cannot look at, they cannot see the particle itself. And in looking at the mind, it is the same difficulty as that of the story of Baron von Münchhausen, which who lifted himself off the ground by pulling on his boots to lift himself up. And people do not often see that that's not how it works. So when the psychiatrist and the psychologist say that they describe mind, that's not what they are doing. Because if they were describing mind, they would actually be describing how they use their mind, or rather, even deeper, how they experience their mind while the mind is doing things for them, or deeper yet, they would understand that mind is a process of a cell communication interaction, which can take place because the cells are responding to something. And that in that sense, when we are talking about mind, that is as trivial as what I mentioned at another time, the drop that came out of the crest of the wave of the water on the ocean. It's not about that drop that was flung up by the wind from the crest of the wave, which was driven by the wind, but it is about the underlying level of the ocean. And that is where, in the discussion of minding mind, we need to connect body, mind, soul, and spirit, and understand that, and this has been addressed in the story of Jesus versus Christ, that mind is simply the mental process of information integration in the body, and that soul is the information processing also separate from the body. If you look at it in the parallel of the electric and the magnetic, when the electromagnetic is in the material, then you can see the electric effect because the electromagnetic will move the electrons, and as a result, the atoms, the molecules, and the materials will change, and you have this transmutations which alchemists talk about. They call the fixed electron state as earth, they call the flow electron the water, they call the electron leap the air, and they understood that underneath that there's the electromagnetic field without the particles, which they called fire. And they called it fire because that's where the material dissolves, falls apart. So when we look at body, mind, soul, and spirit, we have the same. We have the body as the physical printout by the cells. Mind is the same as the physiology. It is a psychosomatic engine where the cell communication actually determines what the body is doing and what the body can do. But that is based on the neurocrine system, the identity integrity system, which is essentially the regulatory system, which is how the part relates to the whole in the singularity of the body in its environment, which is the electromagnetic phenomenon, which is also equivalent to the zero point where the electric and the magnetic connect. So that's also the wave inversion point where the internal circulation and the external circulation are connected as a Möbius loop. And the regulation takes place in that crossing point of that lemniscate figure 8. But that is possible at the regulatory system level, which is where acupuncture works, because there is that deeper level of information integration, which is where the hologram of the quantum field with the information in our body is connected to the information, the radio field, the radio information field, the phase information fields outside of our body. So in the approach of mining mind, we are actually only delivering a half product. By talking about mining mind, we are introducing something very crucial, which means that we need to mind the mind, we need to look at the mind, we need to understand the mind, we need to know how we work the mind, because only then can we understand where the mind can fail and how the mind can fail. All of these problems that psychiatrists and psychologists look at or try to look at become evident when you understand the logic that mind is an information processing. It is a process, it is relativistic, it's chemical, it is about electron flows in the molecular substrate of the body, and in that sense it is the software in the computer. And when as a psychiatrist you only look at the kind of programs that people act out, then you're looking at the wrong side of it, because you're looking at what the robot is doing and seeing that there are specific programs. But if you do not see how you can make and eliminate programs, then you also cannot see how programs can originate and how programs can go wrong, because you're only at the level of the programs and you're not at the level of the programmer. So when we understand that mind is the software in the computer, it's the program, the various programs that can take place, and that these various programs need to connect up to each other, that in this connection sometimes things can go wrong, and what can go wrong will go wrong. So these programs then can disconnect, they can go into adverse mode, they can actually interfere with each other and spin off different programs. So once you understand that, then polar and bipolar is basically the program running one way or running the opposite way. Schizophrenic means that there's a multitasking, but the multitasking has become deregulated. Once you understand that, you simply reboot the system and the multitasking is resolved and the schizophrenia is resolved. In the shamanic approach, they would help people understand that what they see in the outer world and what they see in the inner world is different, and that mind does a double tasking. Mind relates to the outer world, but mind also relates to the inner world. When mind relates to the inner world, on the one hand it relates to memories, experiences which have been stored in the body, but also in the inner world mind relates to the beginner's mind, the learning capacity, the information harvesting, say the sensory process, not as it goes into the body, not as it goes into the brain, but in the way it goes into memory. And then once you understand that, you can also understand where things can go wrong and how things can go wrong. So it is necessary to understand that mind is not a structure, but mind is a process. It is the same as what you would have in hydrodynamic water engineering, as I studied it, that you can have a river, and the river can have eddies, and you can have cross currents, you can turbulence, and all kind of interactions. Once you understand mind in this way, mind becomes very understandable, because you can also understand how mind, seen in that way, connects to what has been described in TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, rather traditional cybernetic medicine, because they understood that all these processes in the body, which in the West are called the physiology, are in fact also the mind, and they are also the cell communication. And then you can see that backward thinking or forward thinking are flow patterns in that psychosomatic dynamic. And by understanding mind as this hydraulic kind of flow system, a lot becomes clear, because it is that kind of flow system with which computer programmers work with. So they have the subroutines, which are like an eddy in the river, and they have other subroutines, and there's another eddy in the river, and then you have an aquarium full of these different eddies, and then of course the cork will move from one place to the other, and the outcome determines is determined by all these vortices working together. So it is a computational system. And by knowing that that is only the mind, that is only the program, that is only the electron flow in the computer, you can then also see that that's not where things happen. So when the psychiatrist and the psychologist look at mind, they are not at the level of the programming. And the shift from the program to the programming is that shift from the mind to minding, and also, let's say, in the word game, mining the mind. If you really want to get most out of the mind, you need to be able to mine the mind, you need to mine the minding, you need to understand that the minding is the programming of the mind, but also the calibrating of the mind, also the error correction of the mind, but more specifically also the fine tuning of the mind in what you would call a meta program. That's also why that connects up to the soul. The mind connects to all of the memories and all of the ideas associated with it, all of the responses identified with that, but the soul sees how it all connects. And the soul knows the larger pattern, because the soul also knows the context and the contextualization. That's where intelligence is different from artificial intelligence. That in artificial intelligence you can have maps of the different contexts and conditions and change those. But in real intelligence you have a deeper level of understanding, by which you can understand the logic of the change in the conditions, because that logic connects to the change in the mental programs, because that logic is what connects the soul. And in the metaphor of the eddies and the currents in the river, you would also see that we have organs and cells in the body, but the river flow which created these organs and the body as a whole, the river in the landscape, is that the first cell divided again, divided again, divided again. Every division connected the material with the molecular, with the atomic in phase space. It is the connection in phase space which is actually the ongoing line which connects all of the cells in the body into units in unity. And that connection in phase space moves everything from the physical to the phasical and shows that the body is not physical but phasical. That's why when the body dies it falls apart, but the phasical, the soul, does not, because the phasical is that quantum space information coherence, that hologram, that bio-hologram of information processing, the radio information field which has its own integrity and identity. And it is that soul, that radio field, that bio-hologram, which informs the individual cells by their tuning fork of the DNA. They can tap into that. Then they know what they're individually doing, because they know what the bio-hologram is doing for all of them. So they all know that they're doing something together, like musicians in an orchestra. And that then is the level of the soul, which is where all the programs, all the subroutines in the program computer form an overall program or an overall intent. And in German, the intent would be called Ziel. In Dutch, the word Ziel is the same as soul. So there is that traditional cultural understanding that behind the dynamics that we see, there is an ongoing current, there is a connection which connects all of the different dynamics that we perceive. But that dynamics that connects all of the processes that we can see, we simply cannot grasp because it is too complex. So minding is very different from mind. In mind we see the processes, minding, it is like the shepherd who sees all of the sheep and can orchestrate it, and that's also where the religions pretended that is what they could do. But working at the soul level means you need to be connected to the soul level, and connecting into the soul level means that you transcend from mind in the body to minding outside of the body. So you're not no longer working with mind as the information in the physical, let's call it the electric, but you shift to information outside of the material, let's call it magnetic. And so that's where you then go into the quantum domain. You go into the logic, you go into the why and how do things connect. Why does this program suddenly emerge, and when do you need to stop that program? So you need to go to the level to the computer programmer, but the computer programmer not at the level of somebody who uses an existing language and then can tell the computer what to do, so to say, give a command to a slave, but at the level of the soul it is actually operating the logic by which you can then conceive a computer language, by which you can then conceive an operation language, by which you can then conceive a programming language. So minding the mind is a very much deeper level than operating the mind. In minding the mind you need to be able to see what the computer program subroutines are doing, and being able to turn them on, turn them off, which is what psychiatry is looking for but unable to do as yet. Shamans are able to do it because they can tune into the different subroutines, because they can feel in themselves what the subroutine is, for the simple reason that the subroutine, a mental program, is a bit of software. There's a current, and the current has a pattern, it has a gestalt. The Chinese call that the Shen. The shaman, the spiritual healer, by telepathy can feel what that pattern is within themselves. They can see what that pattern is relating to. And then they can, in themselves, process that same pattern, but recompute it, reconfigure it, reconstellate it, reintegrate it with other programs, as a result of which, by telepathy, let's call the radio signal, by the magnetic encompassing wave field, the wave envelope, the other can then see that that program suddenly has a different option. Instead of getting stuck at the specific point, it continues at that specific point. Instead of the idea being threatening, it just becomes curious, it becomes interesting, it becomes just another idea. So that kind of shifting of the vortex from, say, the volume to the surface, to the line, to the point, takes place only if you go out of your mind into the minding. And if you're into the minding, then you can do the minding because you can turn things on and off. And that, of course, is what meditation is all about. You realize that your breath keeps on going, your heartbeat keeps on going, your gut keeps on going, and your thoughts keep on going. So there is something in you that is not based on separate heartbeats, separate breaths, or separate meals. But there is something in you which connects them all and has all of these processes of the breathing and the heartbeat and the blood circulation and the cell nutrition at their different scopes, at their different levels, at their different stages, in their different domains, with their different dimensionalities, with their different logic, all interconnect. And it is that understanding of that interconnection of the logic which comes to view when people start to meditate and see that the thoughts have their specific kind of process, and that the thought is like a bubble, and the yoga manuals describe that quite well, like a cloud in the sky. It might become larger or smaller, it might change shape, but it is still a cloud of thought. And once you start to look at it that way, you can see that even a cloud-covered sky is composed of separate clouds. That even a whole construct of understanding, a whole body of knowledge, a whole body of science, it looks like a cloud-covered sky, but it is actually just clouds interconnected. And once you see that, you're able to move the pieces of the puzzle and see that with those memory bits which you have in your mind, you can reorganize them and from the same puzzle pieces create different pictures. Because all of these puzzle pieces, all these memories are not part of a landscape but part of a hologram. And by reorganizing them, it can tell you a totally different story. And that is the whole power of meditation, that you can see the thoughts and see that they repeat themselves, see that by themselves they are uninteresting, see that you do not need to identify with them, because every next thought cloud will do the same in a similar way. And then you start to see that it is the way that you connect these thoughts that makes things different. And I've mentioned at some point that there are people who have realized how it worked and realized that they need to let go of their mind, they need to get out of their mind. That's called it, what is the transcendence of Jesus into Christ. The mind no longer tells you what it is about, but the soul tells you what it is about. All the pieces of the puzzle are let loose. All of the memories, all of the thoughts you have become meaningless. There is this the dark night of the soul, when there is no connectedness whatsoever in mind, there's no meaning whatsoever in mind, because all of the pieces have fallen apart. And then suddenly the light comes from within, and it becomes possible, as in the meditation, to see that those thoughts, they can be organized differently. Those thoughts which were clustered together, you can decluster them. The trauma and the memory are separate. The memory is just a memory, and the trauma you can use, that's energy you can use for something else. It turns back its vitality. People who do shiatsu massage, they can push a point, and the pain of the trauma just shoots out. The memory comes up, even the therapist often can see it, and then it is released because it is no longer stuck. It can reconnect into the flow of the mental process, and the whole mind constellation, the mind constriction, the mind configuration changes. So minding mind is a really important technique, and the basis of the technique is that you look at the mind without being involved, that mind is no longer the computer doing its thing, and that you're dependent on the outcome in the same way that people now pretend that artificial intelligence has to determine how you need to live. No, it's the other way around. The computer program is there because it was created to repeat something. The soul is there because it is able to do something totally new, totally unknown. The mind just exists within a life, and the soul exists between lifetime. The mind can be switched off, but the soul can reboot. So in the mind level you can stop the program, but at the soul level you can restart the computer. And once you understand that difference, then it is clear that by minding mind you are actually the programmer of the program, but that you're free to create totally different programs. And that is this capacity of transcending the self. The people who identify themselves with what they know, and thus they identify themselves with their memories, and thus they identify themselves with reflexes, and that identification is called the ego. They get stuck in repeating what their mind, and thus their memory, has already done. Once they realize that they're just like a book repeating itself, they can shift gear and go from Jesus into Christ. They can realize that they have gotten that information, they've gotten these habits, they got that memory because of experiences that they had. They can have new experiences. They don't have to redo what they did as the ego, as the reflex machinery will. But with the beginner mind, they can do something totally different. They can start a new life. It's called born again, or for the Buddhists called born again and again. And once you then shift into the soul, you shift into giving a new direction, into programming something else, creating a different logic, creating a different computer language, creating a different kind of programming, creating a different kind of program, and then everything changes. And it is necessary to be able to do that, because when scientists do their sciencing, they often have gotten stuck in beliefs. They have been told that they need to think about things in a different way. They have been told that there are things that are true. They have been told that there are specific laws of physics. They have been told that there are specific formulae in mathematics. And they start to believe that that's the way it needs to be done. So they become replicators. Artificial intelligence is their kind of work, because that's a replicator too. But those are the scientists who can never discover something new. They can only discover variations of the same, which is what classical science does, verifiable, repeatable, predictable. But they cannot address the unknown. So the only way that you can address the unknown is that you realize that mind is limited, and that you need to understand that mind can accumulate errors. Which is what the psychiatrists try to understand. But you can only understand that when you understand that mind is a computational program, and that everything that is known in programming applies to what happens in the mind. So then you can see that things can go wrong, and once you understand that, you can also get a better insight on how things can go wrong. But that then leads to the very important element which is lacking in science, but is essential in science, that scientists need to learn to calibrate their mind. They need to calibrate their mind in the same way that they calibrate the weighing scales, that they calibrate the telescope, that they calibrate the centimeters, that they calibrate any tool that they use. If you do not calibrate the tool that you use, then the tool becomes unusable, because over time it might be reflecting something else. There is no standard gauge which underlies it. So that means that the connection to other things around it is not fixed, it is variable. That means that it can become separate from whatever is going on around it. That means that the science is meaningless unless you are able to calibrate the mind. Just as you need to calibrate the technology, you need to calibrate the machinery, you also need to calibrate the main machinery of the scientist, which is the mind. So that is where minding the mind then becomes a crucial given. And once you understand that minding the mind is that capacity to calibrate and recalibrate mind, then you also know that you calibrate it with respect to something. And evidently you cannot use the weighing scales that you're using to calibrate the weighing scale that you're using. You cannot use the camera to take a picture of that camera. You have to break out of the closed loop. You need to compare it to something else. Classical science needed to compare itself to relativity to know that there was an edge. Relativistic science needed to calibrate itself with probability theory to know that there is a quantum leap. A probability theory then could calibrate itself in tetrionics to know how that quantum leap operates and what repercussions it has. So by checking, by calibrating it with respect to something else, that you discover that the only thing that you can really calibrate it against is the universe. So the only way that you can calibrate it is to connect the part versus the whole. Spiritual healing knows that we are a part in the universe. Acupuncture healing knows that you need to calibrate the points of contact in the universe to be able to fine-tune the process within the system. Ayurvedic medicine knows that when you've done that calibration, then the external process can heal the internal process. And only then can you come to somatic medicine, that if the internal process is not working well, then you can actually say do the text editing at that programming level to repair the program. But you need to go back to Ayurveda to be able to change the program, and you need to go back to acupuncture to be able to change the operating system, and you need to go back to spiritual healing to know why you are actually programming something, yes or no. So I've been connecting a couple of ideas of body, mind, soul and spirit, which are actually the connection between the material, the molecular, the atomic and the quantum information space, so that we can see that mind is, say, from body, mind, soul, spirit, it's only the transition from the anatomy to the physiology. Minding mind is that the regulatory system can calibrate the physiology. But minding mind only works if you can regulate the regulatory system in its environment, not just the local environment in the way acupuncture works, but also in the universal environment as spiritual healing does. So in describing minding mind, as I said, that's only a part of the story. It's a crucial part of the story, because we can only use mind and trust mind if we can calibrate mind. We can only calibrate mind if we study mind and see what mind is doing, what these computer programs in our biosystem are actually doing. And for that, we need to meditate on mind. We need to discern and identify and understand these different programs. And as a computer programmer, we need to know which programs need to be turned on, which programs need to be turned off. We need to be able to calibrate the mind. And in the dynamic of minding mind, we also need to be able to reprogram mind. And NLP meditation, hypnotic techniques sort of get there where psychiatrists cannot go, because psychiatrists, they just look at the psychosomatic process, the eddies in the river. But what needs to be looked at is what is the main current in the river, and how does that drive these specific eddies? And if you remove that obstacle, that blockage in the river, then suddenly you can see that a lot of these eddies, these local beliefs, these superstitions, these illusions and delusions, they disappear for the simple reason that they were the consequence of something that was not processed, something that was blocking the flow of soul connecting into the body via the process of mind. And the invitation, of course, is to now realize that, as the meditation does, to see that mind is that process of eddies in the body, but it is not about that. There is a flow in the river, say the soul in its incarnation, which is much more important, and which needs to be nurtured and understood, because to have a life ending up in the desert, or having a life that short circuits into the ocean, is not a life fully lived. So in that metaphor of the river, yes, there is the rain coming from spirit creating the river, which sort of gathers on the top of the mountains, maybe from the snow first, and then as a brook bouncing up and down, carving the mountain, and then as a river flowing to the ocean, then as meandering in irrigating the landscape before it goes back into the oceans. And it is that understanding of that deeper level, not looking at what happens in the mind as the computer program, but going to the level of the programming, not as the level of the code, but the level of the logic, where then the story starts to unfold. Because once you go to that level of the logic, you also get to the level of freedom of choice, the level of being a creator in creation, the level of understanding that life is a very unique experience in learning to be a creator in creation, and that soul is much more important than mind, and mind is much more important than body. But it's only when they properly connect that you can fully appreciate the wealth and the wisdom that a life can give. And that is where minding mind is a wonderful starting point to come to a much deeper realization, which essentially comes down to acknowledging that you're a creator in creation, you're a programmer of your realization, you're a programmer of your reality, you're a programmer of your mind, and through mind you can create science, or can create art, or can create mysticism, or can create a life of whatever kind. But it is your choice. And by minding mind, you can restore that choice. By minding mind, you can eliminate blockages in mind. By minding mind, you can calibrate mind. By minding mind, you can optimize mind, and at some point mind will actually reflect the soul, so that the stream of the river and what mind does in and for the body will be perfectly harmonized, as a result of which the body will be clean and clear of residual mind fragments and illusions and delusions, and the mind can as a result of that fully feed into the body, restoring the body, restoring health, rejuvenating longevity, and all that coming back out. Yeah, mining mind, interesting stuff.